This afternoon, the session is Why Be Anxious, or Why Worry, as some of the new versions say. I won't ask for hands up, but is there anybody that's never been anxious or never worried? We try to get sessions that relate to everybody, and I'm sure this one will. I often read what Jesus said, portion Margaret's speaking of this afternoon, and wonder what he really means. There's some terrible things happening in this world. We live in a fallen world. As I was talking to Betty in the lunch break, some of the terrible things that she has talked to people that they are experiencing. Are Christians immune from this? Are we impervious to the feelings that sweep over us when terrible things happen to us and our loved ones? What on earth does the Lord mean when he says not to be anxious about anything? That's what we're going to deal with this afternoon. Now, when we become Christians, the Lord doesn't open the top of our head and stuff us full of trust. We have to learn by experience day by day to trust him. And as I look around the audience, and I'm starting to get to know quite a few people, and I realise how many situations different ones of you collectively have been through and have proved the Lord's faithfulness by the day. And this is how we learn it, and we need to go on learning it. Margaret's going to come to us now. Margaret's the mother of 4 grandchildren and 3 grandchildren as stored today. Along with her husband Bruce, she spent several years in New Guinea as a missionary, so she knows what it's like to have to adapt to another culture and then re-enter our culture. She has had many years' experience talking to people with all kinds of problems. Margaret and Bruce are currently working at the Bible School at Emmaus, and I ask her to come forward now. Come on. And during Margaret's talk, Jackie and Betty are going to give their testimonies also.
Let me just bow in a moment's prayer. Father, we just come into your holy presence and pray that you will quieten our hearts. And Lord, again, we seek your anointing of your spirit and pray that you will just guide my mind and my mouth that I may speak what you want me to say for your glory. We pray in your wonderful name. Amen. Well, this weekend we're looking at a series of questions, and the one for this afternoon is, why worry, as Nancy has already reminded us. You know, the word worry means to have a divided mind, to be drawn in 2 different directions, to be pulled apart, as it were. You know, sometimes worry can actually pull us apart, can't it? I wonder how many of you ladies have got a cupboard or a drawer or a box of something that you've had for a long time. And maybe when you spring clean, you pull out that box or that drawer and you open that cupboard and you look at this particular thing or things and you think, now I really should throw that out. You like that? I guess many of us have got a drawer or a box like that, but then we look at the things and we think of the memories, maybe our children made them for us, maybe they were given to us, maybe they were handed down. And even though the silver plating's peeled off or whatever, we're in 2 minds what to do with that box. And if you're like many of us, after looking at it and maybe dusting it, we pop it back. Until perhaps we have to move to a smaller house. I sold a house recently to our son, and in that house was a box of literature that I'd inherited from my auntie and my mother, and Christian literature, but it was a little discoloured. It was very old, some of it was a bit tattered, and some of the language was rather flowery. And for years, over the years, I'd looked at that box of literature and I thought, no, it's good, and I'd read it and put it back. But we had to get rid of it. So I sorted through it and I put all the literature that was suitable for non-Christians to one side. Then I put it in a big plastic bag and I prayed. I said, Lord, please help me to find someone to give this away to. Help me, bring someone across my path that that this will be good for. You know, a few days later we went to, drove some friends into the city. They were catching a bus to Melbourne. And we were away from the car for a while. When we came back, the lock had been tampered in. And we looked around, and our car is normally pretty full of junk, I guess, but Bruce looked and his suitcase. The back of the van was there with his wallet and cards, everything, and we were very thankful. When I got home, I went to find my overnight bag with my, and it wasn't there. It had been stolen. You know, in that overnight bag was my big, giant-sized New International Bible, my Greek interlinear New Testament, my prayer diary, and that whole bag, plastic bag of tracks. You know, God is able to answer exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. The lot were gone in one go. And we're still praying that God will use his word in those tracks. Anyhow, we're thinking about worry. That's only a little worry, what to do with things. We often, our mind is in a turmoil. We divide it. But as I said, it means being drawn in different directions. It means being pulled apart. When we worry, all the joy goes, doesn't it? Worry can affect our health. We talk about, we can get all so churned up, can't we? We talk about being sick with worry. We can even end up in hospital through worry alone. I wonder what you ladies worry about. As Nancy said, I'm sure each one of us worry at times about many things. Maybe it's about family. Maybe it's about the future, about growing old. Maybe it's about a wedding coming up. Your daughter's wedding, maybe. Maybe it's all sorts of things. Maybe it's food as the Lord. Maybe it's little things. Maybe it's big things. But I believe we all wrestle at times with worry. You know, I was preparing this on Monday night. I started on Monday night. I said to someone asked me what I was speaking. I said, well, I'm speaking on my worry, so I'm not worried about that talk, but I'm a bit more worried about the other one. you know, there comes a time when we must do something about it, doesn't it? I often think of the Serenity Prayer, where it says, God grant me the difference, the serenity to accept the things I can't change, the wisdom to change the things I, and the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You know, when we worry about things, they fall into two categories. There are things that we can change, we can do something about. And I started to get down to prepare this message on Monday. But you know, my husband had been away for 5 days, up in the Barrington Tops, bushwalking. And he'd been due back that night, and he was supposed to be speaking in Newcastle from 7 till 9, and I hadn't heard a word. I thought, that's strange, I wonder. And then it came 9 o'clock, and I thought, now he's surely giving me a buzz after this class, if he's got to that class. But no word at all, and I'm trying to speak about don't worry, and my mind is thinking, now where is this husband of mine? It was pouring rain. I thought, now I don't know whether to go to bed or not. I don't know whether he's reached Newcastle. I don't know whether he's still up in Barrington Top. Wouldn't be the first time he hasn't come home at the appointed hour. But I just wondered. But you know, I could do something about that. I just picked up the phone and rang one of the other ladies whose husband had gone. And sure enough, he was home. And straight away, my mind was at peace. I could get on with this talk. Why worry? Sometimes we can do things. Just a phone call, we can take action. And the worries disappear. I remember when we had the sewer on. There was a huge tree right by our house, and they had to cut a root, a very big root, to put the sewer pipe in. And as a result of that, the tree got a lean on it. And it was very much one-sided. The branches were coming. There was a huge branch right over our house. And I was worried about it. And I said to the engineer, look, I'm worried about that tree, that limb. He said, oh, there's nothing to worry about. And I said, look, it's moving. The tree is moving in the wind. He said, but all trees do that. And
would you sleep in that bedroom there where my children sleep? You know, in 2 hours he chopped the tree down. He got up with a saw or whatever and those limbs had come down. And my worries were gone. It was fixed. No more worries. Often we can take action about our worries. Maybe you've got an elderly parent who lives alone and who wishes to remain alone and you're worried. You can take action, can't you? You can say, well, I'll ring you twice a day. I'll pop in and get others to ring and check at regular times to see that you're okay. There are things, often we can take action and the worries disappear. But sometimes we can't, can we? There's really nothing that we can do. Now the Lord says in Matthew 6, this is the portion we'll be looking at Matthew 6, the Lord tells us not to worry. You know, Paul says, as Nancy reminded us, don't worry about anything. Now how do we stop worrying? How do we stop? There are some things in our life that are beyond our control. We cannot alter in any way. How do we stop? We're churned up, we're pulled apart, we even become sick with worry. You know, worry is a very strong feeling, isn't it? I say we can even become sick with worry. Ladies, we can never directly change our feelings. Negative feelings always come from negative thoughts. Positive feelings come from positive thoughts. We cannot directly change our feelings, but we can change our thoughts. We can. In the Word of God, it talks about bringing every thought into captivity to Christ. You know, when Paul says don't worry about anything, he goes on to say, but pray about everything. And then he goes on to say, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. How do we get rid of these negative feelings? Dwell on something positive. Last night, as you know, as you've heard, my daughter-in-law was in labour. She had been in labour since early in the morning. And I thought, now she'll surely have this baby before I come to camp. But no, when I left home at 6:30, he'd only dilated a couple of centimetres. So I said to Bruce, well, I'll ring every hour. I'll go to camp. I felt like staying at home and being near the phone. It's the first child. And they're about either. But I said, I'll ring every hour. So I rang at 11 o'clock. No change. So I rang at 12:30. And Bruce said, look, they feel she'll have a natural birth. It's about 6 centimetres. Now you go to bed. I'm going to bed. You go to bed and I'll ring you first thing in the morning. So I thought, yeah, I know, he'll go to bed and go to sleep. But when you've had a child and when you know it's that close, it is hard to sleep, ladies. And I'm speaking on don't worry today. So I had been praying all day and I went back to my room over there and I prayed again. And I thought of this verse, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything with thanksgiving. And, you know, I started to thank the Lord. I started to thank the Lord that Wendy was in his care. I started to thank the Lord that he loved her far more than I did. And I started to thank the Lord for his promises to strengthen her. And I started to thank the Lord for many things, for doctors. You know, I've delivered many babies by the light of a hurricane lamp in a bush hut in New Guinea. It's very hard. I thought of the hospital. How thankful, how great it is to have hospitals in this land with lights, bright lights, doctors, nurses who are qualified and trained. And I just lay there thanking the Lord. And you know, I felt a great peace as I just committed my daughter-in-law to the Lord. And then I started to think about something else. I thought, you know, I didn't lock that door. Now, Jean had locked that door, and I'd been out a couple of times, and I hadn't locked that door. And I thought, oh, I'm not to worry, I'll just lie here. It'll be okay. Nobody will come in this time of night. And the next thing I heard, the door open. And I heard footsteps. And I froze. And then my door opened. And I saw a person standing there and I just yelled out, who are you? And the next thing, that girl flung herself on my bed. on top of me was my daughter. She couldn't wait till morning. She'd heard the news. She'd driven over from Gorrington to tell me that the little baby had arrived. God is good, isn't he? But not to worry. Not to worry. As we give thanks, as we commit to the Lord in prayer, as we trust him, ladies, that peace will come. You know, the Lord in this passage here, first of all, before I go on to that, Paul also says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are lovely and excellent and praiseworthy, think on these things. Remember, we cannot directly change our feelings, but we can change our thoughts. And the Lord in this portion before us tells us some things that are true, some wonderful things. And he wants us to think about them when we're worried. Things that are true, facts that are true. Facts about God, facts about his creation. And I believe as we dwell on these things, those feelings of worry will disappear. Let's see what the Lord says about worry. In Matthew 6:24, there's a few arguments, quite a number of seven reasons or arguments and defences about why we shouldn't worry. Now, he starts off with a therefore in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry. And of course that's what must be connected with what's gone before. And just before that he has told us we cannot serve God and mammon. He's told us not to lay up out for ourselves treasure in heaven. And he has assumed that we have chosen to serve God rather than money. He assumes when he says therefore that we have chosen not to hoard up treasure on earth. And so he goes on, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not the life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Now he points out here that life, you know, God has given us life. That's far more important than the food that we need to sustain it. And he has given us a body. And that's far more important than the clothes that we need for it. And you know, he says that if God's given us life, can't we trust him for the lesser things, the food and drink we need to sustain life? He's given us bodies, surely we can trust him for the clothes to feed, the clothes for those bodies. You know, he says don't worry about what to eat, what to drink and what to put on. I believe, ladies, we do worry far too much about our food and clothes. I really do. Put far too much emphasis on them. I've lived in New Guinea. I've travelled. And when you see the poverty on the other side of the world, you realise how much we waste on our backs, how much we waste in our stomachs. You see the beggars in the back streets of Cairo, just in rags. You see the people in New Guinea. I remember coming back from a trek in New Guinea once, and when we go on trek, we used to go for a month and there were no chairs, so we had to have a full skirt to sit down on the ground cross-legged. And I'd come back from a month and I'd washed my two skirts hanging on the line. Now, an old widow came up to me and said, can I have one of your skirts? And I said, but I need them. I need them both. I always took two when I went away for a month, you know, wash one whilst I put the other one on. But she said, I haven't got any. I haven't got any. Ladies, we do have so much. And I feel we do put far too much emphasis on them. Remember, I think of the words of the Lord when he was talking to Mary and Martha. Remember how Martha was all churned up about serving and she was obviously putting on a great spread. But what does the Lord say? He said, Mary has chosen the better part and it will not be taken away from her. What had Mary chosen? She'd chosen to sit at his feet. he'd chosen to hear his word. Let's put more emphasis on that, spending time with our Master, and let's not worry so much about clothes and food. So much time we spend, don't we, in mucking around with food and what have you. Now, this is what Job says: your hand shaped me and made me. You moulded me like clay. You clothed me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. You gave me life and showed me kindness. And in your providence, you watched over my spirit. The Lord has clothed us with skin and flesh. I'm sure you've seen documentaries of some people where the skin is not, it doesn't form. They haven't got a skin and it's a dreadful thing. Have you ever thanked God for skin? God has given us wonderful bodies and he's given us life and showed us kindness. How much we have to be thankful for. You know, if anyone gives you a valuable gift, you know they won't be stingy about lesser gifts that aren't very important. Say, for instance, somebody gave you a brand new motor car. You know, you can be sure that they wouldn't mind putting in the petrol and the oil as well, would they? God has given us life. God has given us bodies. Surely he will give us the other things we need to maintain those bodies. I was hitchhiking once in New Zealand with my husband and we were picked up by a guy in a Mercedes-Benz. And after a little while, he told us that he'd recently found that he had terminal cancer. And he said, all of a sudden, I realise how precious my life is. He said, my values have changed completely. He was a businessman. He said, all I ever thought about was money. He said, all of a sudden, my values have changed completely. I realise how precious my life is. It is to be alive. Ladies, so often we take it for granted. God has given you life. Won't he give you food to sustain that life? God has given you a body, and all of us can walk. I've been here several times to Cancer and by Rotary for handicapped people. You know, what the thing that amazes me about them is just how thankful they are. If you've ever worked with the handicapped, I think you will find that. But God has given us bodies. He has given us healthy bodies. Let's be thankful. Let's not worry too much about the clothes to put on them. They're not really that important. Then in verse 26, the Lord goes on to say, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? The second reason why I'm worried, the Lord says, wait a minute, look at the birds. You know, the other day I went around to visit a lady, children had been sick, and when I got there, I crept in, I thought the baby might be asleep, and I found three of them asleep, mother and two children, sound asleep at 1 o'clock in the daytime. So I crept out and I thought, I'll just go around the corner and come back later when they're awake. And pulled up near a golf links and there were trees everywhere. And I thought, now I'll have a little look at this passage again. And it said, look at the birds. So I thought, well, I'll do that. I'll just sit here and enjoy them. I'll look at them. And there they were, all singing so happily and merrily. It was a beautiful day on Thursday. Here were the birds without a care in the world, getting their moths and butterflies or what have you. But, you know, when the Lord says, look at the birds, he wants us to learn a lesson from them. Birds, it's not that they don't work. I don't think anyone works harder than the average sparrow, do you think, to get his food? It's not that they don't work, they don't worry. They don't worry. Do you know that little poem, said the robin to the sparrow? I wonder, what is it? I really like to know why these foolish human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me. We've been thinking today a little bit of how much our heavenly Father cares for us, haven't we? And we've mentioned that before, how he cares for the birds. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Won't he also care for you? Won't he also? He loves you and he will care before us. And God doesn't want us to worry, but to trust Him as our Heavenly Father, that He will provide our needs, because we are much more valuable. Now, let's look at the next verse, 27. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? The Lord points out here the fact that worrying is useless. No man can, by worrying, can add to the length of his life. You know, I often think of worrying as like a rocking chair. We can expend a lot of energy in a rocking chair, and where do we get? We don't get anywhere, do we? We just use up all that energy, and we've got nowhere. You know, worry is not only useless, it's worse than useless. It is harmful. Two of the most prevalent diseases today are stomach ulcers and coronary thrombosis. And many of those diseases have been caused by worry. If we worry in our mind, it can affect our bodies and it can affect us. It can wear out the body too. Worry wears out the mind and it can wear out the body too. And the Lord says not to worry. Don't worry. And this, for this reason, it doesn't make any difference. Not one scrap of difference does it make whether you worry or not. Job said, man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. You know, our times are in God's hands. He has set the time for your death. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. And God alone knows that time. And all our worrying in the world won't extend our life one little bit. Let's trust Him. Our times are in His hands. And it's great to leave them there, isn't it? Now, what about the next few verses, 28 to 30? Why do you worry about clothes? Now, my children always tell me I don't worry enough about clothes. They're always trying to dress Mother up. And coming to this camp, I had shoes and coats, and anyhow, when I was coming up here this morning, I thought, golly, I forgot those high-heeled shoes under my bed that my daughter insisted that I take. But sometimes I guess I don't worry enough about clothes, but recently I had to speak at a chair of a missionary conference, and I thought, and there'd been, you know, the sales. There'd been a dress on that was coming down in price, and I had my eye on this dress. I tried it on, and it fitted me, and I liked it, and I thought, well, I'll just wait a bit longer. It might come down a bit more. And about a fortnight passed, and it was the day before I had to chair this conference, and it had come down to half price, so I bought it. And the morning of the conference, I felt quite pleased with myself. I put on this dress and I thought, now, nobody can say I'm not well groomed today. I've got new stockings, I've got a new dress. And I had a quick look in the mirror and off I went to get the train. You know, I'm walking up the station, I thought, this collar is very uncomfortable, it seems very high. And I looked down and I saw I had brass buttons going down the back. And I thought, well, isn't that strange? You think they would have put those buttons on the back? And then I thought the thought struck me, and I turned down the collar and I saw a label. And so I broke into a jog. And I made a beeline for the ladies on the railway station and managed to get the thing turned around before the train came. It's good to have a laugh, isn't it? You know, a merry heart does good like a medicine, and this time of the day it's good to have a laugh. But the Lord says, why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labour or spin, and yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry. Jesus speaks about the lilies of the field. Now, these were the wildflowers or poppies scarlet poppies, brilliant scarlet poppies and anemones, and they were white and all other colours. And the Lord says, listen, don't worry. I clothe the field, the grassy paddocks of Palestine are clothed with these beautiful wildflowers. You know, they only bloom for one day. And then they're cut down with the grass. They don't bother to... They just cut the grass and the flowers, and then they're just used to heat the ovens, the clay ovens of the women of Palestine, just to get them warm a bit quickly, hurry up things. They're only there for one day. And yet the Lord said, Solomon, King Solomon, who was the richest and most lavish and extravagant of Judah's kings in all his splendour, was not arrayed like one of those. The beauty of those little wildflowers surpassed the beauty of King Solomon's richest royal robes. You know, God cares about beauty. He cares about clothing the grass. I've been recently doing a course in wildflowers at Tringai College, and it's been just incredible to look at some of the wildflowers in the Sydney region. You know, in the class we look at them under microscopes, and it's interesting to just hear the oohs and the ah. The whole class at times just is this oh, as we gasp in the wonder of what God has made. One day the lecturer said, made a comment, she said, sometimes I find it very difficult to believe that all this just happened. And you know, I couldn't restrain myself, I said, it didn't. It didn't. God geometricizes, as somebody said. There is tremendous order in a flower. You ever seen some of the five sepals and the petals and the stamens? Beautifully set, beautifully coloured. God cares about those flowers, the wildflowers of the field. Won't he much more care for you? Look at the flowers, the Lord says. Look at the birds and learn a lesson. God will provide. God has given you a body, and he will see to you that you have food for that body. Look at the flowers. God has given you, God's given you a body and life, and he will see that you are fed and clothed. Do not worry. And then he goes on to say, God is so concerned for us, every little detail of our life. And if you don't mind me sharing another personal experience of just God's infinite care. We'd been away one year on beach mission, then on holidays in a caravan, and then I got news my father had died. So we came back in a hurry to Sydney, went off to church, and we came back, and the caravan was a heap of ashes. Now, before I'd gone to church, I'd got out a fair load of washing, a whole week's washing for six of us. When I came to go through those clothes, I had a two-piece coddie, it was two-piece, but it was a little skirty thing, you know. And I really liked that pair of coddies, but when I came to go through these clothes that were waiting for me in the laundry, the top was missing. And I had to go to a camp the next weekend. It was a long weekend, and this camp was by a river. It was January. And I knew the main activity would be swimming, and I didn't want to go around New Guinea style, and I prayed about these cozzies. I said, Lord, you know, I really need a pair of cozzies. And you know how much I like these ones. But it was really sad that top had gone. Well, I came up to Tukey to get a dress for the funeral, and in the main street of Tukey, they opened a second-hand shop. Since I've been away, so I went in. Do you know what I saw in that shop? The very same style and colour of these costumes. Exactly the same. But only it wasn't quite so faded. And it fitted me better. The top fitted me better. The bottom didn't, but I had the bottom from the other pair, and the top fitted me better, and it looked brand new. And I thanked the Lord. You know, that shop closed a few weeks later, and I had never seen another pair of clothes like that in my whole life. But God cares about the little details of our life. He has given us life. He has given us bodies. Won't he provide for our clothes and our food what we need? He's a wonderful God. You know, he chided the disciples gently, he said, for their little faith. He actually called them, you little faith. Do you remember the Lord
couldn't do many works in his hometown because of the people's unbelief. Ladies, we limit God by our unbelief. Worry is really the opposite to unbelief. When we worry, we're really doubting God. We're really doubting that God knows and loves us and will provide. And unbelief is sin. Remember the Lord said, whatever is not of faith is sin. Let's trust him. He is so worthy of our trust, as we've been reminded this morning. He is our Heavenly Father and he will provide. He is so worthy. Let's not doubt him. Let's have faith in him. Now, how does our faith grow in the Lord? I believe through this precious book, as we read it and read it and read it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as we read the stories in the Old Testament, how God worked, how God proved himself again and again. He tested people and yet he proved himself. He never failed. As we read that book, our faith will grow. One thing I'd like to mention, if you've never read the Bible before, Emmaus has put out a Bible reading log. It's been accepted by the Bicentenary folk and it's got their logo on it. But it suggests that you read it straight in 88. Okay, read it straight in 88. And in here it's just got all the chapters of the Bible marked in little squares and a suggested read order of reading, and you just tick them off as you read them, and then you can see where you can make sure that you read the Bible through. It's suggested you read 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sundays or 5 on the day that you're least busy, and in that way you will read the whole Bible through in a year. So I have plenty of these here if you would like them, or if your churches would like them. Let's plan to read it straight in 88, particularly if you have never read it before. There is nothing like the Word of God that will increase your faith. Emmaus also has correspondence courses, and I've got some information on those there. And I'd just like to challenge you, I wonder if any of you, challenge you to consider doing a 1-year course or a 2-year course at Emmaus or at any Bible college. Set aside a year or two of your life where you can really get into the Word of God. Jackie, who's going to come and speak to us later, is with us down there at Emmaus, along with many others, and it's a real joy to have that time and really get to know God. So there's plenty of married accommodation there, so just because you're married, it's not too late. Just something to pray about anyhow. God's word is full of promises. There's a promise for it. There are over 600, I understand. And for what, you know, no matter what problem we have at the moment, what problem we're facing, what worry that we're facing, there is a promise for you. One I love is that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect or committed to him. God, as it were, is looking over the whole earth and he wants to prove himself. He wants to show himself strong. He wants to strengthen you. Many, many promises. Fear not, I will help you. I will strengthen you, as the girls are singing. There are many promises, and by faith we can claim them. He will never fail. Our God will never fail. His promises will never fail. So when we're worried about something, let's go to the Word, let's claim a promise, let's pray about it, and but claim that promise for our own. His Word will never, never fail. Let's look at the next couple of verses there, verse 31 and 32. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Don't worry. Why does he say? He said the pagans worry after all these things about food and clothing and drinking. That's their number one concern. And he says they have a need to worry. They are pagans. They don't know your Heavenly Father. You know, the pagans worshipped many gods. The Greeks, for instance, had many gods. And they were vindictive. They were cruel. They were
they were completely unpredictable. They were often jealous, and the pagans were always worried that one would be jealous of the other, and they were always trying to appease their gods. The Lord says, listen, your Heavenly Father's not like that. You haven't. We've been thinking today what our Heavenly Father is like, how much He cares for us. How much He cares for us. He cares. Remember, Peter said, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. In the Greek, that says, to Him it matters concerning you. I love that. To Him. To our Heavenly Father, it matters concerning you. He cares for you. Don't let's be upset because we have a Heavenly Father who cares, who loves and promises to provide. As a father, He promises to provide. Now, I'd like to... I've asked Jackie to come along and speak to us. I'm really thrilled that she's here because Jackie's little one is due next weekend. And when I asked her early in the year, we said, we'll pray about it. And we said, well, look, if the Lord wants you to speak to us today, He will see to it that you won't, that little one won't arrive till after this afternoon session. And isn't the Lord good? Jackie's still with us in one piece, so I'd like to ask Jackie to come and just share how she has proved her Heavenly Father's care. Thanks, Jack. Just get this out of the way.
Thanks, Margaret. I saw Margaret running up when she started that jog, when she had a dress on back to front. I seen Margaret when she was in that jog, and it was something to see. But I don't really think I could start to talk this afternoon just without thanking everybody that has been thinking of me and praying for me. It was great to get here and everyone sort of running over and saying, you know, you look great, or we've been praying for you and it's great that you can make it. So I'm really pleased to be here, yes, and I am in one piece. Well, yeah, as Margaret mentioned, Simon and I, my husband, are at Bible College this year. This is our first year of a 2-year course. Earlier on in the year, we were doing a public speaking course, and one of those lectures involved all the students giving a 3-minute testimony of the Lord's goodness to them over the previous 6 months. And that was the first time, I think, those verses in Matthew chapter 6 really meant so much to me, because as I look back over the past 6 months, I realised that I'd worried about so many things, about so many little things that God didn't want me to worry about, and I really held on to those verses. Actually, one of the privileges of being a married couple at Emmaus is all the lectures come through the speakers, so married couples like Margaret, the wife, can stay at home, do all the chores and still hear the lecturers. So Margaret was listening in on those days, on that day that we did our 3-minute talk. And this is the reason I'm here and not you, Rosalind, because I talked on Matthew 6, you weren't there. So, but no, I really pray that the Lord will be glorified in what I have to share just over the little experience that I've had this year. I'm sure there's so many of you down there that have been through experiences in your life where you can really look back on and see God's care and how He's really looked after you. But I pray that I'm really learning to trust God, and maybe as He trusts me with the little things that He gives me, then later on in my life, that as I go through the big things, that I can really learn to trust on, learn to count on Him. Okay, well, if anybody had told me 12 months ago or last year sometime that next year, Jackie, you'll have no money, you won't be able to buy any clothes, you won't be able to just do the things you normally did, you'd be at Bible College and having a baby, well, worry wouldn't be the word, depression would have struck right in, okay? Yes, the depression would have been the word. But just praise God that God can mould you and make you someone into somebody that you weren't before, and that is me. I think that when you're young and you first get married, pressures and expectations of what you should achieve in your life are all set out for you, and I find this even in the church and in Christian circles, that you get married and if you're lucky enough you both work, you both save up to buy that little house you've both been dreaming of. If you can afford it, you buy really nice furniture. And then when everything's set up and everything's nice and comfortable, then you can think of having a baby. But that's a long way down the road after everything's set up. And then you've had the baby, you've got nothing to worry about, and then you can get on with your life. You can join all activities in the church. Well, I haven't got up to that stage yet, but as I look around, that doesn't seem to be a case. A lot of people get into that mould from when they're young, and when they're a long way down the track, they're still in the mould of chasing after the things that they had planned to do just when they first got married. I don't think these are wrong things to aim for, but if, as long as God is in the centre of the things that we want to achieve, that's when the things that will work out. But anyway, I suppose we were in that mould, but God graciously intervened, and we had a burden to go to Bible college. So that's where we are this year. Simon and I have never ever been really good at saving a lot of money with things like that. We used to like spending it. Spending on anything. I love spending it on clothes. We loved having people over. We loved entertaining and just generally doing things like that. The house was sort of down the road, but it was good to have all the clothes and everything in the meantime. So when we decided to go to Bible college, we had enough money to pay our fees, but rent and food and clothing, well, we thought, well, no worries, they'll be right. Week by week, we'll get on. Now, that's okay to say that when it's not happening, but when the time comes and you're sitting there thinking, yes, well, what are we going to have for dinner tonight, or how are we going to pay the rent? That's when the passage in Matthew chapter 6 comes to life. And, well, that's what happened to me. When these situations in my life come up, I was worrying. I found myself worrying, and over these little things, over the clothes and over food. And I know, as Mrs. McMinn comes up later, the experiences in her life, the things that have come in her life, a lot more things to worry about than what I had to worry about. But still, I worried. And it was a bit of a shock adjusting from having lots of money to having no money at all. Then the next shock was I found out that I was having a baby, and the first couple of weeks were at college. The first thought was, oh, this is really great. This is unreal. We'd been trying for 2 years, and at the time I thought that that was really God honouring our decision to go to Bible college. So that was really good. But then I thought, hey, wait on. I thought when I was having a baby, I was going to have all these really nice maternity clothes, going to be really trendy, I was going to buy all these beautiful things for the baby, and I would be set up just so good. I would look so nice. Well, the Lord had other things planned for me when I was having a baby. I didn't have any money to buy any clothes, so it was amazing how long I fitted into my normal clothes. It's amazing what you can do with a pair of jeans by cutting out the zip. It fits a long, long, it fits for a long time. Okay. So it was at this time when, at the beginning of the year, when I really started reevaluating my life, just to find out what things that were important. Was I relying on plans or goals that I had made before? And like these plans that, like I said, about having the baby and having all these nice things, when they weren't start working out, you know, what's sort of going wrong? So I really reevaluated my goals and found out that I was worrying about things that I shouldn't worry about. Clothes are not important. People are so much more important. And having a life, having a relationship with the Lord, having a good marriage. And just a couple of months ago, little Hannah was born at college, and just seeing her around the college, she just brings so much joy to everybody. She's just so much more important, I'm sure, to everybody than what their possessions are. So there is just a few practical things that during the year that's happened to us. At college we have a thing called a forget-me-not, and each semester all the girls' names go in a hat and you choose one out, and for the however many weeks it is, you look after that person, you send them little cards, or every now and again you send them a little gift just to encourage them. For the first semester, my forget-me-not, she must have been really getting messages from the Lord, because no joke, it was just so good how the Lord has been providing for us. As I said, sometimes I'd sit down and think, what on earth are we going to have for dinner? And look in the cupboard and there might be a little tin of baked beans and think, oh, we'll get by with that. And the next minute I hear a knock on the door and there's someone with a grocery bag and there'll be some really nice chops and a dessert or something like that. These are just really little things, but I just appreciated them so much that the Lord was showing me that he was looking after just the little things in my life, just like in Matthew 6 said, that he does care about our clothes and our food, and he's going to provide for us. Now, that doesn't mean that I always trusted him and always thought that he was going to provide for our needs. I remember once Simon was speaking at a church, a little church in Sydney, and we were early and we were sitting in the car before it started. And Simon said, well, you know, get the money out of the church. And I sort of opened my wallet and here's sort of a few measly little dollars floating around. And I really remember hesitating whether or not to give that to the Lord or whether I really wanted to keep that for myself because that was all I had. But I remember we gave it to the Lord with my hesitant heart. A few hours later, we were driving home on the freeway and Simon pulls out this envelope out of his pocket and he says, oh, a guy gave this to me. And we opened it up and it was their whole collection that they had for the Sunday morning was in this envelope. And it's times like that that you just don't feel worthy of anything that the Lord does for you. I remember saying that I don't deserve this and after all that the Lord's done for me, and I was grumbling about giving that $2 away. But they were just some really practical experiences that I've learnt this year that we can count on the Lord, and that I'm just so glad that my values have changed and that the Lord and people are most important in my life now and not what I'm going to look like. So this year has really been invaluable. And as I said before, these are just little things that I can trust God in. But as I can trust him in the little things, I really pray that he will trust me to handle big things that come up in my life. So college has really taught me the possessions and the things that the world offers are nothing to compare to his faithfulness. And I'm just so thankful that he's given me this year the experience of knowing his provision.
Thank you, Jackie. It's great to have Jackie at college and just see the way the Lord is providing for all our needs. It's a wonderful thing to be able to share the way the Lord does provide from time to time. He is so faithful. Could we read that next verse? Seek first. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The Lord tells us two ways to defeat worry. One is to get our priorities right. The other is to live a day at a time. And we'll look at that in a minute. But seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first to enter the kingdom of God. If there's anyone here that has not acknowledged Jesus as King, as Jean was urging us to this morning, may I urge you to seek to enter the kingdom of God. We enter the kingdom of God by crowning, asking the Lord to come into our life and to rule and to take control asking him to guide us and direct us and submitting freely to his ruling in our life. He wants to be our king. Seek first to enter the kingdom of heaven if you never have. May we live lives that seek to express the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. You know, we read, Paul said, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. We've been thinking about that, haven't we? How many times has the Lord said, don't worry about what you eat or drink? The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? May we live lives that express the kingdom. Lives of righteousness. Godly lives. Lives of joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit. And lives of peace. as we learn to pray about everything and trust God. He promises us his peace. May we live lives, seek first to extend the kingdom of God. You know, as Jean was saying, there is a world out there, as we, and you know, so many people know nothing. Nothing of God. Nothing of Christ. Nothing of his salvation. Somebody said, if you get 3 generations away from a Christian influence, you are just as heathen as anyone. Any pagan, any heathen in the back jungles of New Guinea or wherever. And many, many people today know nothing. God has entrusted us with the gospel. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek to extend it, ladies. Be praying that God will bring people across your lives, and or he will lead you to people who are searching for him. You know, I was visiting one of the rally mothers the other day, and she said, my second divorce is coming up next month. She said, I jumped out of the frying pan into the fire. I went back a few weeks later with a little book, Who Cares When I Hurt? And she looked at it and she said, who does care? I said, God does. She said, I don't know anything about him. But she said, I look outside at the flowers and I think to myself, there must be someone there. And I said, there is. And what a wonderful opportunity to talk about God and his son. Many, many people have no idea about God and his, and God would have us extend the kingdom. Seek first, be concerned with kingdom values. And you know, our worries will gradually disappear. We've got our focus as we've got our priorities right. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is a very, very precious verse to me, because as I remember as a young wife and mother, standing behind my husband one day as he sat at his desk, and he was writing a letter of resignation to the education department. And I thought, there goes everything. There goes my security, there goes the weekly check, there goes the superannuation. But you know, the Lord had challenged us about going to New Guinea. And this is the verse I clung to. And I thought, will God provide? Will he really provide? In my head I believed it, but there was a worry. My mind was a little bit divided. Will he really provide everything I need? And I can remember to that day watching him as he signed that letter. I stand here today to tell you that God is faithful. He does provide. All these things have been added unto us. He is faithful. He never fails. His promises never fail. He is a faithful God. Let's trust him more. He is so worthy of our trust. Why do we doubt him, ladies? Why do we worry? And then look at the last verse. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. As Kenneth Taylor puts it, live one day at a time. So often we worry about things, and they never happen, do they? We worry about the future. I think of a minister's wife, and she was a real worrier. And her husband said to her, look, my dear, I'm going to give you a book, and for 1 month I don't want you to tell me one thing you're worried about. I want you to write it in this book. And you know, a few days went by and she started to say, I'm worried about, and he said, write it down. And for a whole month she wrote down everything that she was worried about. And at the end of the month her husband asked for that book. And you know, they went through these pages and pages. And you know, there was hardly anything that had happened that she'd worried about. And the things that had happened, they weren't that bad at all. They weren't really worth worrying about getting all in a tizzy about. How many things we worry about that never come to pass? The Lord says, live one day at a time. You know, I had a very dear friend and she had many, many problems. Financial, health, she said to me, she came to know the Lord and she said to me, Marg, when I start to worry, I get on my knees and I thank the Lord for 10 things about himself. I praise him for 10 things about himself. I led her to the Lord, but she taught me that. You try it, ladies. When you're worried about something, get on your knees and praise the Lord for 10 things about himself. You'll find that that burden is lifted when you rise from your knees, because the Lord says, you know, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We cannot alter anything by worrying. Remember, negative thoughts bring negative feelings. Positive thoughts bring positive feelings. Let's know what it is to fix our mind, to praise the Lord. To sing is a great thing. Put on some music and sing praises to our wonderful Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That expresses that thought, doesn't it? Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, sometimes we worry about the past. We churn it over and over in our mind, as Jean reminded us this morning. The Lord has forgiven. The Lord remembers no more. And he wants us to remember no more, to choose not to think. And if a thought comes in our mind about the past, we can reject it. I often think of my mind like a tape recorder, and I, as it were, press that eject button, and I say, I reject this thought. It's not coming from you, God, and I want nothing to do with it. We can reject it, and we can put something positive in. The past has happened. God would have us learn from the past, but he doesn't want us to be in despair or discouraged or all uptight about what's happened in the past. And the future is the future. So often we ruin today by worrying about the past, or dwelling on the past and worrying about the future. How foolish. How foolish. When I was nursing my mother with cancer, somebody gave me a beautiful little plaque, and it meant a lot to both of us, because I was worried. I'm not a nurse, and I didn't know anything about cancer. And it's not easy to know your loved ones are dying. But somebody gave me this little plaque. Lord, help me to remember that nothing can happen to me today that you and I together can't handle. Nothing can happen to us today that you and I together can't handle. I really proved that, and so did my mother. I'm sure many of you have too. God wants us to live one day at a time, together with Christ. He will give us the grace or whatever we need, when we need it. A little poem I love, and I'll just read it to you. It's based on this passage. Take no thought of tomorrow. Do not worry about what might happen tomorrow. The same Heavenly Father who cares for you today will take care of you tomorrow and every day. Either he will shield you from suffering or trials, or he will give you unfailing strength to bear it. So put aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations. I was just thinking of Betty was talking of that verse where the Lord promises to deliver us from all our troubles. And I couldn't help thinking of Joseph. And when Stephen records the story of Joseph in Acts there, in his defence, he said, and talks about Joseph, and the Lord delivered him out of all his troubles. It's like that. But you know, it took many, many years, didn't it? Think of what Joseph went through. Many years of rejection and suffering from those, from his brothers, his family and others. But the Lord delivers him out of all his troubles. And the Lord will deliver us out of all our troubles, ladies, in his time. In his time. He wants us to trust him in the meantime for strength for the day. Just three words as I close from this passage, starting with F. Faith. Three words that give us victory over worry. Faith, Father, and first. Faith. Let's put our faith in our wonderful Lord and in his word. Let's claim those promises for us. Day by day, let's live one day at a time. Faith. faith in our Heavenly Father, the one who loves and cares, the one who calls us his treasured possession. Let's put our faith in him and let's seek first his kingdom. First the kingdom. May those words ring in your ears. That first the kingdom and his righteousness. And Lord and ladies, we will not need to worry. God will prove himself sufficient for all our needs.